sports fans, it's time to come together at Abby's Pizza for a legendary hour with your caveman football team. We're eating legendary pizza and talking all things caveman football. Presented by the Insurance Lounge, your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs. Stop by for your free quote. Insurance Lounge. Insurance simplified.
Welcome to the Beacon Drive, Abby's Pizza. Thank you for joining us for the Insurance Lounge Caveman Corner, brought to you by Abby's Pizza. If you're looking for caveman size savings tonight, Abby's Triple Topper is on sale for only $26.99. This special pizza features their three most requested meat toppings: classic pepperoni, premium Canadian bacon, and ground beef. This giant pizza can be yours at Abby's.com or come join us here in the Abby's Parlor. Back for a second week in a row, I am Zach Morgan, and we are joined now by Coach Kennedy. Well, Coach, I mean, we got to talk about it. Rough one last week. I think that, I don't know about surprise to you maybe, but a surprise to maybe everybody else, the speed for me especially of Silverton really showed early and showed often. What are your takeaways from last week with the Silverton game? I mean, because even in a loss, you could take some good things out of it.
Absolutely. In fact, I mean, you should be able to take more out of from a loss than from a win. You want to be able to do both, because there's always room for improvement. But Silverton, and I knew going in, I mean, that was a, I don't care what their 5A, 6A, that was a good football program. At the same time, they were better than we thought they were on film. They were bigger, they were faster, they defended the run better. I mean, that front gave us more fits than just about anybody has all year. And yet at the same time, you know, you look at the score and then you look at the box score. At the end of the day, the score is what matters. But we had about the same amount of first downs. We had similar amount of yards. But we broke it down when we talked about the fact that they, you know, that game was won two places. It was won in the weight room. Because that group, I think if we had gotten into a weightlifting competition with them, probably would have beat us at most positions. And they beat us between the ears. We had that one stretch where we just kind of got shell-shocked. I think we had a great week of practice and came in expecting to play well. And then when we got down early, they onside kicked, swung momentum. They scored like 21 points in six plays. And we didn't respond real well. And it took till halftime where we could kind of regroup and come out and play a little bit better as a group.
Yeah, and you briefly touched on it, but they came out in more man-to-man than I thought they were going to. You know, I think a lot of teams that you guys are playing right now are zoning up or manning up on the backside or double teaming guys or loading the box for powers. And it seemed like they matched you guys speed for speed essentially on the outside, which is, we haven't seen that from a team all year. Is that something that kind of caught you guys off guard offensively early in the game? Is that kind of what we were looking at?
You know, I mean, we've had the challenge every week of having kind of limited film of them defensively, that we had two films of them playing wing T teams. And so we had to feel them out a little bit. Yeah, the fact that not only that they did it, which we were kind of prepared for, but that they did it. What they changed was in the past they'd pressed the slots, and they made a good, smart decision. They played soft with their safeties on our slots, and were able to bring pressure and get home before we were able to, you know, get past those guys at the second level. And their corners were fast and tough. I mean, even we threw the ball reasonably well, but there was nothing that was wide open, and it was contested almost every time. So those guys had definitely put in some time in the weight room and working on speed stuff, and it showed.
Yeah, I think anytime you play a big physical team like that, that's going to be the nature of the game. You know, I think you hit it around the nail that where the turnover, or not the turnover, but the onside kick, it seemed to really sway momentum, and they were in Rosetta's face all night long. They brought pressure with the man coverage behind it, which is, if you can do that successfully, you're going to be a good football team. And so, you know, I think Rosetta handled it okay, but I mean, the pressure in his face to any quarterback is going to be tough. You know, so how do you, you know, prepare this week? Because you got to assume that Sprague's going to try to answer with some pressure now. They've seen that if you get to Rosetta's face, you can get him off, you know, a little bit. So, you know, how do you negate that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, we put in a few wrinkles this week that help. If we're going to get man covers, that hopefully create some space early. At the same time, I say beat between the ears. Our kids didn't stop fighting. Our kids kept battling. But there was that chunk of football where we didn't play well on either side of the ball. And even some of those pressures, when you go back and watch it on film, we have one or two guys on the line that are just going the wrong direction. And mistakes that we hadn't been making earlier in the year that we went back and said, hey, where were we at headspace-wise? And I'm asking the boys that kind of rhetorically, but when we're playing like this, it says it's not where it needs to be. And so our focus has once again been on us, and that game, with a few corrections on our part, could have been a much different outcome. But at the same time, credit to Silverton. They had a game plan. They executed, and they had the guys out on the field that could make it happen.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you see Silverton as the number two team in the 5A. They're a top 10 6A team.
Yeah.
I mean, period. Exclamation point, however you want to word it. They're a top 10 6A team. And so as much as, you know, that loss hurts, but you go up there, your RPI ranking drops one. You drop one slot. So it just shows the power that the RPI rankings have. It shows that going on the road is a big deal. You know, how'd you guys come out of it? Healthy? Looked like it was okay as far as from the box goes.
Yeah, we were, I mean, reasonably healthy. We had the sickness kind of run through the team this week. And then credit to the boys as far as how do you bounce back from a loss. And we talked about it. We had our probably two most physical days of practice, Monday, Tuesday, and kind of banged ourselves up a little bit. So we're going to be down a couple of guys on Friday. And I mean, that's the nature of the game, but what we really needed was a great week of practice, and the boys answered the bell, and they did that this week. So
yeah. And so now you move forward. You know, you, for lack of a better term, you flush that game, you move on to this week because that week's over. You can't do anything about it now. You're sitting at number 13, Sprague's sitting at number 20. We know Sprague's going to be physical. They've been physical the last few years. We've seen them in league. We know they're going to be physical. They're 3-4. You guys are 4-2. I think the record's pretty irrelevant because we know they're going to be physical. What kind of team is Sprague this year? Some years we've seen them all run. Some years we've seen them 50-50. What kind of team has Sprague become this year?
Sprague this year has shown pretty run dominant. They got an athletic quarterback, and they'll roll him out and use his legs with both quarterback sweep, but also just roll out pass. But they want to sit, and I mean, against South Med, again, another film we have, and North Med, we have both those films, and they were probably 75% run. They sit in a lot of bunch formations and do a lot of shifts, and every week we have three films on them. They do different things to dress up formationally what they want to run, which is power football right up the gut. And so defensively, that's where we got to hang our hat, is stopping the run and containing the quarterback, and then challenging those guys to throw the football where we feel like we hopefully have an advantage.
Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about the offense. I don't think the defense, I think they get overshadowed a little bit as far as you guys go. I thought the defense made a huge statement for you guys last week. First series of the game, they get a stop. Offense doesn't necessarily take advantage of that momentum, which on the road, in my opinion, that's something you have to take advantage of right away. Otherwise, it's all for naught. But, you know, again, we talked a lot on the air, missed tackles. I'm sure you guys are just hammering that in practice. You know, how do you get over the missed tackle portion, especially this late in the season?
Yeah. Well, and it comes down to practice habits, and the boys hear it all the time, and they hear me say, look, I can scream it at you, but until you guys really embrace the fact that, and it's tough, you know, midseason you're banged up, and what my message to them was, look, we can ease our way through Monday, Tuesday practices because we're banged up, and then we're going to miss tackles all night on Friday, and we're going to lose a football game. Or we can toughen up, and we can get physical at practice, and they did that this week, and like I said, unfortunately, we banged each other up a little bit, but that's our constant challenge. And even me looking at clinic in the offseason is like, how do you maintain physicality in the middle of a season, especially when that's what you need to address? And I think we're doing a good job of it, but I also recognize that that's kind of an area of focus for us as a program going forward also.
Yeah, I mean, like you were talking about, how do you find that balance as a program? Because now, I mean, you're six games in. You got three games left before a playoff run. You know, how do you internally, do you get feedback from the boys? Is it just a coaching thing? Like, how do you handle not beating each other up so bad that it's a war? But like you said, you don't do enough during the week, and then the first time you've actually touched somebody is Friday night, and that's not good either. So is it feedback, or is it from coaches, or what is it?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, as coaching staff, we sit and talk on Sundays, hey, where are we at? I'll pull some of the leaders aside and inquire, challenge them a little bit too, to kind of lead by example. And so, yeah, each week, you know, we've changed the plan up just a little bit, trying to be mindful of that. But the message to the boys, it's a physical football game that's going to be won by being physical. We have to practice physical.
Travel up to Sprague, you know, a tough road game. I don't know if there's any game in this league that isn't tough at this point. I mean, even the down teams this year are going to, I mean, South Salem's winless, and they're fighting everybody tough still. Tough place to play in Sprague. I've been there a couple times myself personally, kind of in a bowl type atmosphere. You kind of feel like you're in kind of a fishbowl with the background, with the trees and stuff in the background. You know, how do you prepare your boys for each situation each week as far as the different scenarios, different settings?
Yeah, I mean, we talk a little bit about their setting. They know you got to kind of walk down the hill, and so they're not completely blindsided by it. But, you know, this week our theme was love for the love of the game. You know, and when you're in that midseason grind and your body's banged up, and you know, it's easy to kind of look forward to hoops or wrestling or whatever else. It's kind of, we talked a little bit about it last week, and it's like, hey boys, remember why in August when we sat in that locker room, we talked about what you love about this. Let's get back to that. And Friday night, it's just about going out there with a group of brothers and loving what we do. And results will take care of themselves. And so that's kind of been our focus this week, is just to play with a spirit that hopefully is visible come Friday night.
Sure. It's such a hard thing to do, I think, in today's day and age with the kids, because it's always with the phones, it's always the next thing. What's next? Because I can have that instant gratification in that, you know, millisecond of a time. So do you guys spend a ton of time on film? I know, you know, some kids do like watching film, some kids don't. Do you guys spend team time doing that throughout the week? Or do you expect them to watch it on their own? Like, how do you guys handle that sort of...
Yeah, I'd love to do more film. I think film's a super valuable tool, but at the same time, there's only so many hours in a day, and these kids are students and sons and brothers. And
sure.
So we typically... As coaches, we cut up film clips from our Friday night game by position and send it out to our player groups. They then have homework to go and break down that film, and they got to turn that into us as coaches on Monday, Tuesday. We'll do a quick team review of Friday's game as a group, and then we move on to an overview of the opponent on Mondays, and then Tuesday we dive in and watch some opponent film and try and prep for tendencies and stuff like that. So Monday, Tuesday, and then a little bit of homework for the boys over the weekend.
Yeah, and as we kind of, you know, if you do a little bit of a deeper dive into Sprague, they're 3-4. Their three wins are North Medford, North Salem, South Salem. Lost a tough one last week at South Medford in overtime.
Yeah, they got to be kicking themselves.
Yeah, which I thought they had it won multiple times. So going back and watching it myself, preparing for this, lost to West Salem, who's tough, and then Summit, who's like a Silverton in the 5A as well. So it's not like their schedule has been easy.
Yeah.
You know, so they're in the same boat you guys are sitting. Obviously, same schedule except for Summit, but you could flip Summit and Silverton and probably feel the same exact way.
Yeah.
So... You know, you see the 3-4 record. You see number 20. Again, everybody wants to talk about, well, they're lower ranked than you. I mean, you got to think it's going to be a pretty evenly matched football game. I mean, just at least on paper.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what the boys have heard that, you know, you add a 4-hour bus trip, which we've talked about how difficult that's been over the years. And, yeah, record aside, I mean, this is two teams coming off of tough losses. Right, it's their senior night, and they got 30 of them. So we're fully preparing for a fight against a team that expects to win. Right, and so who's going to handle the sting of defeat from last week better, and who's going to show up and execute tomorrow night?
Sure. So one thing, you know, that I noticed last week was the first quarter. I thought was very, you know, hard hitting, very physical, very. Back and forth, and then it seemed like after the onside kick, it seemed like Silverton never really had to weather a storm after that. How important do you feel, especially on the road, you've got to give the home team storms too? Like, because on the road, you're going to get some storms, you're going to have to weather, it might be 4 or 5 storms, who knows, on the road. But it just never felt like you guys quite gave them that push to put them in a corner. So how do you get that going? Is it just something you got to get going earlier in the game to get to that point?
Yeah, you know, and our second theme was, you know, mental toughness, and we kind of defined what that was this week, and because it's a term we use all the time. But And there was a moments, and it's tough, right? A team scores on you, they get an onside kick, they score again. Your resolve wears down a little bit, and that's what we pointed out. Is like, hey, when things didn't go well, we it's more important that weathering of the storm happens now. And hey, we're back. It's the next play, and it's a lot of coach speak, but at the same time, it makes all the difference in the world. And so, knowing when you're on the road, you're going to have to withstand momentum swings. And to the extent that, yes, if we can come out and get a fast start and put them in a little bit of a bind, I mean, that's what every coach wants to do. But then it's a matter of there's still that feeling out phase from us on the offensive side. Okay, are they going to be in man press? Or are they going to – how are they going to defend us? We know how they defended South Med's power run game and South Salem's empty formations. Sure. And so we'll see. But, again, focus for us is loving what we do. And – you know, we talked the challenge of we have the probably best venue in the state of Oregon to play high school football. And then you go on the road and it's not like that. And how do we travel with the same spirit that we play with at home? And that's where that love of the game hopefully is going to be the fuse that kind of lights that fire.
So every week in the box, I've tried to guess. Is he taking the football? Is he kicking the football? Is that something you as a staff predetermine each week? Because it's been a little different each week. There's been some different philosophies. Every coach has their own. Do you predetermine that during the week with your coaching staff? And obviously, I don't need to know what you're doing tomorrow night, but yeah. Are you gonna, do you always predetermine, or is it like a feel thing when you get there Friday night?
It's kind of a feel thing. I mean, I run it by the staff. I say, hey, here's what I'm thinking for tonight, but it's not necessarily something, you know, because even for me, I'm watching film on Sundays, but then I'm watching it again on Mondays and Tuesdays, and my game plan's set, and we're repping stuff, but I'm watching film on Thursday nights and still kind of formulating in my mind what the plan is. And so, yeah, when it comes down to game time, we'll sit there and have a conversation, and, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you guys – and we'll roll with it.
Sure, so more of a game time decision.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Sprague, I feel like every week we talk about the same thing about the other teams. Big, fast, strong. And I watched the South Medford game before I came here, and, you know, big wide receiver, 6'4", plays the slot quite a bit, looks really big, looks pretty quick on film. Their running back is a senior as well, 5'8", 180. So both of those guys have been leading this team for 2 or 3 years, I'm assuming. Quarterback, senior, 5'8", 155. So they have this level of experience that you would think would scream louder than 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Especially if you're saying they have 30 seniors.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many of those 30 seniors play, obviously.
Yeah.
But anytime you can retain 30 seniors, obviously it's a pretty strong program.
Yeah.
So you got this big, fast, strong, mature program. You know, you guys aren't necessarily young, but you're also not an older team either.
Yeah.
So how do you go and handle that on the road, especially with a – and you got senior night. I mean, the motions really flow on senior night.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the talk is – I mean, you acknowledge it, and we've done that. And as coaches, we've looked through, and I think they – the other thing, they only start one kid both ways, and they start 18 seniors between the two sides of the football. But at the end of the day, there's 11 varsity starters on both sides of the ball, and they're earned that starting spot regardless of what grade they are. And so, in that sense, our kids are going to go, okay, well – we're just it doesn't matter what grade level they are. We're ready to play.
Sure. So, you know, you have to look forward a little bit. You have to start thinking about, you know, staying healthy, getting to the next game. You know, obviously we got a game at Ingram next week, which obviously gives a sigh of relief just knowing you're coming back home. Because you guys do play different at home. You've mentioned it multiple times just with me. Playing different at home, you get senior night coming back next week. Only bummer part is a Sheldon, but everybody's telling us that Sheldon's in a down year. Obviously, we could beat that dead horse on the ground. But if you guys survive this week and come home to Sheldon, you got to believe your chances at the OSAA actual bracket, with it being 16, start to become pretty good in fruition, because West Salem looks like they're going to be a top five team at the end of the year. Obviously, it's probably not something you talk to the kids about necessarily, but it's got to be something that starts to get exciting as a coach, knowing you've put yourself in a, you do whatever you need to do, and you control your own destiny at this point.
Yeah. And this is a big week, right? This is a big game for both teams. Sprague's in that similar position where they've lost to some good teams. And they think, hey, if we can run the table in these last three, we're in the big dance, and we're sitting there with that same ambition. And like we've talked about every week, pretty much every team we're lining up against has that hope. And so we haven't really looked ahead, because we know that like this is a challenge that we got to address and handle. And if we're able to do that, then yeah, coming home playing Sheldon with that kind of momentum would be pretty fun.
Yeah. So this late in the season, obviously, you've got your playbook set, you've got your basic plays, you've got your basic defenses. I know back when I was playing, you know, Coach Blanchard used to put in a couple plays a week or whatever, depending on who we were playing. Is that something you guys try to do? You try to add and make that offense that much more complex each week? Or is you try to just keep it as simple as possible?
No, there's wrinkles every week, and partly it's, you know, okay, if we see a weakness, if we see a spot that we want to attack, and, you know, this week we're going to be playing a 4-3 defense, which is really the first 4-3 we've seen some, so we're getting a slightly different look, so we're putting in a couple of different wrinkles that we think are going to attack that defense better. A few gadget plays here and there as the season goes along. And so yeah, you're always adding a little bit, but you always want to make sure that you got to have your bread and butter, that you run well, and that you can run against anybody and continue to kind of drive those plays home.
Sure. I know you are a big fan of scripting your first few plays. I actually like that, because you can never control what defense you're going to come out in. They're going to control it based off of whatever you do, honestly. So in the scripted plays that you do you try to go off of film, you try to go off of feel, or there's some in the scripted plays that are could go against a couple different defenses, so that way you're safe just in case?
Yeah.
Like, how do you go about scripting your plays to start?
You know, a lot of times it'll be a combination, maybe something that we've worked on that the team hasn't seen, and then also getting a sense of how are they going to line up against this look, so that we can then come back to that formation or motion or whatever it is later. So there's a little bit of feeling out, because you're trying to get a sense of, okay, how did they plan for this? A little bit of they haven't seen it. Let's see if that catches them off guard. And a little bit of let's not get too fancy early on. We just want to run our stuff. So there's a balance there that you're trying to thread each week. And I, you know, I'll script my first six and try and stay on script, depending on down and distance and whatnot. And even in that script, kind of visualizing, okay, this one's probably going to end up in either for another first down or a second short. And there's a little bit of a guessing game involved in it. But to the extent that we can stick with it and recognize that, you know, that first drive, at least we saw how they're going to line up against looks that we want to return to later in the game.
Yeah, so, you know, you're sitting at 4-2. If you kind of just take a step back and look at the season so far, you know, 4-2, you kind of are at a point where you control your own destiny. I know as a coach, that's the biggest thing you can ask for each year, is you control your own destiny. It's not coming down to the last week and you're saying, oh, I need South Medford to beat North Medford in the Black and Blue Bowl or whatever. You're not relying on somebody else to get you somewhere you need to be. And in my opinion, being at 4-2, I think you've done that. You've set yourself up for kind of controlling what you can control. How do you right now look back, and if the season ended today, would you view this season so far as a success? And in what way, starting in July to now, has it been a success? Because it's not all about numbers. I know you're a big not number guy necessarily, but I would say even minus the numbers, this group would be a success. So how do you view that success so far in a 4-2 season?
Yeah, I focus on, and we talked, I think, a little bit about it last week, but the shift in culture, and that's where I'm gonna kind of start with. Has this season been successful? Even 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks from now, is the buy-in that we've got around the way we're going to carry ourselves off the field, on the field. You know, our penalties are way down. We're playing with more discipline. We've improved as much as tackling's been an issue in a lot of plays. Our defensive line play's been awesome. We've been dynamic on offense, but these kids are really showing up every day to school. They're doing well in classes. They're playing with composure on Friday nights, and those things in the long term, as I'm looking at trying to build a program for, you know, a decade, those are kind of the staples that you're going to hang your hat on. And this group's been awesome as far as buying into that. And then knocking off both Medfords is a pretty sweet deal. So, yeah, both at the at that mid-season point here, I feel good about what we've done both on and off the field. And it'll continue kind of measure that foundational success for the season based on, you know, that buy-in that those kids continue to show.
Yeah, because I think everybody gets so focused up on numbers. And numbers are cool. I mean, you've had a lot of records broken this year. You never want to take away the records from the boys because they earn them. They work hard for them. But I think, like what you're saying, the lack of penalties, I think, has been huge for this group. The lack of, you know, the attention to detail, the discipline, it's really showing as far as from a viewer side. And for those of you that don't get to come to the games, you know, you should come to a game because you get to watch the transformation of, like you're turning these young men into men and you're watching it in front of our eyes. And it's pretty cool to watch just because of the nature of football. Like, football and sports in general teach kids a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it's not just focused on numbers and the, you know, the product right now, I think that's super important. But how do you get the kids to focus on that? Because, you know, kids want to know, you know, what's my stats? What's how many yards I throw for? How many yards I rush for? How many tackles I have? And how do you get them to go away from that and have that team-minded focus rather than the individual focus? It's hard.
It's hard. It's hard. And I don't know that it's ever been easy, but with the accessibility of stats and the ability to, like, push out your own highlight reels and even the pressure kids feel to, like, build their own recruiting platform. And it's so not why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Sure.
And so that, again, this week, love of the game type of stuff. And this group really does, as much as, I mean, individuals, obviously, they put in this time, they want theirs and they want to be successful individually. I think there is we celebrate each other's successes and they never hear me talk about numbers ever. And we celebrate kids that are in five AP classes and we give them a round of applause. And so we're trying to make sure that, like, we don't just say it, but that if we're going to recognize on field and off field stuff. And that hopefully helps kind of sink in that, like, oh, this is important.
Sure. Well, Coach Kennedy has brought some football players for us to talk to tonight. But before we get to chat with them, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour and some news. Just a reminder that Caveman Corner is courtesy of Abby's Pizza and brought to you by Insurance Lounge. It's Insurance Simplified. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass, Oregon. This is the Caveman Corner.
Evergreen Federal Bank, serving our community and serving you locally. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
99.7 and 1270 KAJO Grants Pass.
Welcome back to the Caveman Corner, brought to you by the Insurance Lounge, courtesy of Abby's Pizza. There are two Abby's locations in Grants Pass, Williams Highway, and we're broadcasting live from the Northeast Beacon Drive near Fred Meyer. Get the Abby's Triple Topper for $26.99, featuring classic pepperoni, premium Canadian bacon, and ground beef. All right, Coach, you brought a few players with you. Why don't you introduce them for us, and we'll get to interview them.
All right, yeah. So I got three juniors. I got Tyler Meek, who came back and has been playing inside linebacker for us these last few weeks. I got Cam Bowen, who starts at outside receiver for us, had a big game a couple of weeks ago. And then I got Cam Holland, who plays outside linebacker and kind of had a breakout game offensively for us at wide receiver this last week.
Okay. Well, boys, welcome. We'll kind of just start with an overall question for all three of you. We'll go down the line and answer it that way, though. So you guys have all had experience now playing on Ingram, playing on the road. Obviously, Ingram is a very special place. I asked this last week to the guys, what individually for each one of you makes Ingram so special? Because it is a special place. It's different. I mean, you go to Silverton last week, small environment. You go to Ingram, it's loud. It's different. So we'll go down the line. Just what makes it special for you? So, Tyler, why don't you go first?
I'd have to say, the, like, no matter how loud I get after a play, like, the crowd is always louder.
Go ahead, Cameron. This is Cameron Bowen, not Cameron Holland.
Yeah, Cam Bowen. So for me, I'd say my favorite part about Mel is I never really, like, played football when I was growing up. So and just seeing, like, how lucky I am with the stadium and the community around it, I just like having, like, a big crowd. Like, that's my favorite part about it.
Okay. Cam Holland?
Yeah, I have something similar. I was just going to say the band in the student section, just before and after every play, just everybody's always maximum energy at all times. It's really, really special to be a part of.
So you guys are all skill position guys for, I mean, except for Meek being a linebacker. Skill position is one of the harder positions to play just because you have to match the team's speed on their side, whether you're playing offense or defense. Silverton did a good job last week against you guys, kind of matching speed for speed, which we hadn't seen so far. So what individually does each one of you think, like, your, like, what makes you the, like, the starting receiver for Cam Bowen, the starting linebacker, what makes you so physical, Tyler? And for Cam Holland, you kind of go both ways. So what kind of specifies what you do for this group and what makes you, like, who you are as a football player? So we'll start with Cam Holland this time.
One thing I would say about receivers, I think I have pretty good hands at receiver, and I think I've never played receiver before, but I think I'm starting to do a lot better at it. And for linebacker, I think I'm just pretty athletic, and I can just flow with the defense, and I can fit run most of the time, or I can drop in a pass. I think that's for me personally.
Okay. So, Cam Bowen, for you, starting wide receiver, you don't see a lot of the press coverage, but you're getting the single coverage on the backside. So what, for you, you know, what makes you so special on that backside receiver that you seem to always be open?
For me, I believe that my size and my height, just being in, like, an overall, like, perfect spot for, like, really anything. This year I got changed to D-line, which was new for defense, but I don't play that too often. But I'd say, like, I'm, like, flexible around positions. I have hands, I have speed, and I can play anywhere on the ball. So.
Okay. Yeah. And for Tyler, you were hurt for the first couple of games, obviously. Come back. Step in the middle linebacker position, which is, you got to be physical, especially with the teams you guys are playing. They're going to smash mouth, run right at you. So what part of playing that middle linebacker, I mean, what part do you enjoy about it the most, I guess?
I mean, I've always had something to prove since, especially missing the games, and didn't really get the chance last year to do it. And, I mean, I've always been lifting and stuff like that, trying to get big for that type of stuff. And South Meadows is a perfect chance to show how physical I can be.
Okay. So for each one of you, you're a junior, you got one more year in high school still, right? But the future is ahead, okay? I'm not necessarily needing you to go in your little crystal ball and tell me exactly what your plans are for the future, what you're going to do, what college. But if you were able to pick what you were going to do, do you guys want to go play sports in college? Do you want to just go to college? Are you going to go into the trades? You know, so kind of give me a rundown of what your guys' future would look like if you had it exactly the way you wanted it today. So, Tyler, we'll start with you this time.
I think unless a very good chance of like a very good offer for football, or I don't know of any other sports, but if I don't get anything good for that, I'll just go to trade school probably.
Okay. Cam?
For me, if it was exactly what I would want in the future, I would want to play football at a higher level. I've always wanted that, and I feel like tons of football players always have the dream to play, like, higher football. So if I had the chance, I would definitely pursue a higher division of football.
Okay. Cam Holland?
Yeah, so I've had kind of this dream for a couple years now, but how I see my future is I really want to be an oral surgeon. So I haven't really looked into a lot of schools yet, but that's kind of what I want to do with my future is I'm being an oral surgeon.
Okay. I asked the boys last week, you know, a lot of kids, especially at small town Oregon, play multiple sports. Give us a rundown of maybe the other sports you guys play. Also, what you guys do for fun, right? Video games, fishing, whatever it is. Just kind of give the people kind of a rundown of who each one of you is, what you like to do, and what you do for fun. Go ahead, Cam.
Yeah, some things I like to do outside of football. I also play baseball in the spring and in the summertime. And in the winters, I like to snowboard a lot. I go up to Shasta, have a fun time there. And, yeah, it's just about it, just football and school right now.
Okay. Cam Bowen?
For me, my only sport right now is football. I might do track, but just injury stuff, so I stepped away from that. Never played any other sports, really. And so I just stick to football mainly and then work out throughout the off season with Coach JMO. And some things like off the field, I honestly just hang out with friends as much as I can. Right after practice, I always go to Cam's house, has dinner. Go to my house, have dinner, just hanging out with friends. That's like my number one priority right now.
Tyler?
Leaning back into baseball again, took some time off from that, but I mean, lifting has always been my big thing. It just keeps me set, rhythm, and set me up for football and just overall health and everything. So, I mean, school, lifting, and football has been about it.
Okay. Okay. So I asked this question last week. I think it kind of threw the boys off, but I'm asking it again. So you guys get caught in the yellow bus rides, right? That's just what we do in Grants Pass. We ride this yellow school buses all over the place, and it's kind of – you guys seem to enjoy it for some reason, but it's just what you guys do. So I asked this last week, who is, in each one of your opinion, right, who's the jokester on the bus? Because there's always one guy that's either keeping guys awake, not letting people sleep, pulling pranks, playing loud music, singing, dancing. So who is each one of your guys' choice or opinion is who is that guy on the bus? We'll start with Cam Holland.
One guy? I say one guy.
Or it could be a group of guys, too.
I would say there's usually a group of guys. It's all seniors, and I see them in the middle of the bus, and they're playing some weird game on their phone with Coach J-Mo and Zyna. I think it's really funny. I just wake up from a nap on the bus, and I see them all. I'm like, what are they doing over there? But I think my favorite on the bus to have is Cam Bone. He always sits right next to me, and we always have a good time when we're on a bus ride.
Okay, Cam Bone, what you got?
I'd say the main person is... I'd say Jet Stewart. He's weird, but he's also just like an awesome person. But definitely on the buses, it's definitely Jet Stewart in my opinion.
Okay, Ty.
I'd say Kingston. He's always has games for us to play, whether it's like songs, guessing games, you know, just guessing random people. And then I always have to bring the speaker for everybody, so I always get everybody woken up before the game. But yeah.
Different answers last week. I like it. So each one of you, you're a junior. You've seen, you know, Coach Page come and go. Now you're with Coach Kennedy. I asked the boys last week, what does Coach Kennedy bring to your group that you guys enjoy, right? And we'll just pretend like he's not here. What do you guys enjoy about, and I don't need the differences between him and Coach Page, but what do you enjoy during the week that he does to, like, get you guys going, drive you guys? Because at 4-2, obviously you guys have a lot to do with that, but the coaching staff has a little bit to get you guys motivated, kind of get you guys lined up in the right positions and stuff. So what is Coach Kennedy and his staff doing each week that's kind of helping each one of you individually or as a group? Because being at 4-2, you guys are in a good spot. So what is he doing to kind of help you with that? So, Ty, why don't you answer that one first?
I'd have to say, like, listening to us as players. I mean, even last week we had to, like, do a survey to see how we're feeling, and, like, they definitely listened to it because our energy this week was way higher. And, like, the relationship that, like, Kennedy has, I mean, it's just we have man-to-man relationships with him, and we're more like a family, and it's just way better energy around.
Okay. Cam Bowen, what you got?
For me, I was going to say kind of the exact same thing. I feel like Coach Kennedy and really all the coaches really, like, have, like, a deep, like, personal connection with us. Like, doing the survey, listening to, like, what we, like, feel like, what our bodies needs, just, like completely just, like, all in, just, like making sure we have the best. And I feel like that as a coaching, just them, like listening to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cam?
Yeah, so I feel like this year, I feel like our coaching staff, and especially Coach Kennedy, is really kind of like what Ty said. They really seem to have more of a interest for us that goes beyond football. They are on us more about our grades, and they're caring, like what Tyler said, about how we feel, like, during the week and stuff. And I feel like last year was more of only cared about football, and there wasn't much of downtime. It was... like, it felt like a job last year, and this year Coach Kennedy's really making it fun, and I'm really enjoying it this year.
Yeah, I think everything you guys are saying, I think, is very important, because as a player, you want to be able to – it's not your job yet, obviously, but you want to be able to show up and play and have fun, right? And it looks like you guys are having fun on the field. You know, let's just quickly touch on Sprague. You guys have seen a little bit of film on them. Give us an inside look as to what you guys see, what you guys can take advantage of, what – you know, because we got a couple offensive, defensive guys, and we also have a two-way guy. So what does each one of you see from your vantage point as to what the Cavemen can do to get the win tomorrow night? So we'll start with Cam Holland, kind of from both sides of the ball for you.
I think the biggest thing for us on defense is just stopping run. They're a pretty run-heavy team, so obviously you're going to try and grind us down with the run all night. So I think that's going to be pretty important, is just making sure we stop the run, and we're just more physical than them, which we have struggled with in some games, is just being more physical than our opponent. So I think that's going to be a big thing for us this week. And on offense, I think it's just getting going quick. you saw with the Silverton game, we were kind of slow to start, and all of a sudden they're up 21-0. And then in the second half, we kind of came out and had a better half. But I just think that we have a really explosive offense, and I just think it's really important for us to get going early.
Okay. Campbell, why don't you give us a peek from the offensive side only, maybe. You know, what do you guys feel that you have the advantage of against Sprague this week?
For an advantage, I won't say, like, for our advantage, I'd say we have more, like, a speed and, like, more, like, places that we can, like, put in that goes against their defense. They're, like, a really good team. They deserve to be where they are right now. And last year they were good, and so from what we've seen offensively, we can definitely go out, and if we do the right thing, then we can definitely go out and do our thing.
Okay. And then, Ty, for you from that middle linebacker position, what do you see offensively that Sprague's going to, you know, what kind of problems are they going to pose to you? What are you guys going to do to try to stop them? I don't need, like, obviously the schemes, what you guys are going to do, but what do you see as your advantage on the defensive side this week?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not necessarily an advantage, but something that we can adjust to. Week to week is physicality, and they love to be physical. They love to run the ball, and I think if we can just continue to be physical, I mean, South Med week we stepped it up, and I think if we can just do that again, keep the energy high, and bring Mel with us, we'll do good.
Yeah, I think bringing, you know, Ingram with you guys is pretty important. It seems like when you guys play with that energy, you guys are a completely different football team, right? You guys play with that energy. You guys run around hooting and hollering. You guys are fun to watch. Not that you guys aren't fun to watch all the time, but you know what I mean. When you get that energy going, you become a good football team to watch. You know, you're sitting here at 4-2. You got 3 games left, 2 on the road, which is tough. Obviously, you guys have the more internal locker room view than any of us do. Are you guys talking about playoffs? Have you guys talked about it internally? Like, do you guys have internal goals that maybe even the coaches don't know about? You know, is the OSAA the bracket you want to be in? You just want to get in, period? You know, what's your guys' internal goals as a group that maybe we don't know about? So, Ty, why don't you answer that one first?
I think in past years it's been pretty low. I think it's make it to playoffs and make it to the lower bracket and maybe first, second round. But the energy we've had through the whole entire season and – just like playing against teams that we would have not done so good last year, I think our expectations have been like double as high compared to last year.
Okay. Cam Bowen?
For me, I've talked to a couple players, and I've just like heard just like stuff. I've talked to like Brev, Coach Herzog, I've talked to Cam and Trey about it a little. But we definitely do believe that we can reach playoffs this year. From where we are right now and, like, what we've done so far and, like, what we have offensively and defensively, just the team we put together this year, I'm pretty confident that our team can definitely go playoffs this year.
Okay. Cam Holland?
Yeah, kind of thinking the same thing as Cam. I haven't heard a whole lot of people talk about playoffs, but it's obviously on everybody's mind getting towards the end of the season. I honestly think our squad this year is we're ready for it. We're fit for it. And I think we'll definitely make a deep run than we did last year, just to turn it around.
So you guys get to come back next year. A majority of you guys do come back. Like you guys graduate very few people. Does that excite you guys? Obviously, we don't want to look too far forward, but it's got to excite you guys because you guys seem like a pretty close group. I mean, watching you guys walk in here, you guys are joking already with each other. Does that excite you guys knowing that a lot of your buddies are coming back and the core of this group is coming back for next year? What about you, Cam?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a good outlook for next season, especially because of some of our sophomores now, like James and Bronx, will be juniors, so we'll definitely be working them in more next year. It is kind of unfortunate, though, because we're losing a lot of our key guys. So we got Nate on the defense and on the offense. We got Weston. We got Ty on defense. And Jet, obviously. We've got a lot of guys we're losing this year, but I think overall, with how much juniors we have and how close we all are, it's going to be a good season next season.
Okay. Cam Bowen?
For me, after freshman year, just seeing like Jordan and Trey leave and then JV like separating and like tons of people quitting, I'd say I am pretty excited for it. This year has been really fun because it's my first year with Jordan, and I played with Jordan all throughout South Middle School. And so just finally being like all together with like the people I've gone through middle school with and like played football with, just seeing that we're all together, I'm really excited and pumped for it.
Sure. And Ty, what about you?
I have really high expectations for the future. I mean, a lot of our guys, I mean, our line is hard work built. I mean, they're undersized, but their conditioning and weight room, it shows out. And noticing how my sophomore year I was working double hard, and then this year I can just play ball and have fun. And then to think that they're going to do that and then have fun this next year, I mean, they're going to be so much better, you know?
Sure. Well, boys, we wish you the best of luck the rest of the year. Stay healthy. Keep winning football games. Put yourselves in a good spot to get in the playoffs. That's all anybody really wants for you guys, but stay healthy for sure. It's been a great pleasure talking with you guys, and like I said, we wish you the best of luck. Again, we want to thank these boys for joining us tonight. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and finish up after this two-minute caveman timeout.
For more than 50 years, Abby's Legendary Pizza has been a go-to spot for post-game gatherings. Whether celebrating a big win or the achievement of competing well with their teammates, young athletes and their families know exactly what they'll find at Abby's. Our own team of dedicated employees, serving up delicious traditional-style pizza in a friendly atmosphere. So, good luck this season, athletes. Compete well. We'll see you after the game at Abby's. A legendary pizza tradition. Yum.
A recent Clouser Drilling customer shares her experience.
This is Susan from Griffin Creek. And listen, if you need a new well, I want you to call Clouser Drilling right away. They were absolutely fantastic. Everything from locating the water to the drilling process itself. Their staff was top-notch, thorough, professional, on time, precise, friendly. Answered all my questions, and believe me, I had a lot of them. You won't regret it. Call Clouser Drilling.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Is your home energy efficient? Poorly sealed windows, lack of insulation, hidden holes in your attic, your basement, and crawl space can mean you're paying to cool or heat the outdoors. Don't do that. Keep money in your pocket and call for an energy audit today with Indoor Airman. Plus, the higher the energy score is on your home, the better resale value you have. 541-295-3204. Indoor Airman, your energy conservation specialist.
From the woods to the fields to the gridiron, Black Flag Armory is proud to support all sports enthusiasts. Outfit yourself with all the proper gear for a successful hunting season with proper accessories, scopes, cases, slings, cleaning accessories, all the popular ammunitions, plus the hard-to-find ones. Black Flag is more than hunting with everyday carry guns and accessories available on Redwood Avenue Monday through Saturday in front of the Cedarwood. Then hurry in from the field for Friday night kickoff with the Caveman.
Welcome back to Abby's Pizza in the Caveman Corner, brought to you by the Insurance Lounge and courtesy of Abby's Pizza. All right, we're back with Coach Kennedy to finish off this evening. Well, Coach, I mean, we talked a lot about, you know, a whole bunch of things, especially with the boys. At the end of the day, it comes down to Friday night, right? Every week it does, obviously. What's it going to take for the Grants Pass Cavemen to win, especially on the defensive side of the football, tomorrow night?
You know, it's going to take physicality at the point of attack. There's times they'll line up with seven offensive linemen and direct snap to a tailback and pound ahead. So, and you say that most weeks, but sure. I mean, but this is a team that if they, similar to South Med, they do it in different ways, but they want to run the football. So how do we handle the point of attack? Can we squeeze plays and keep them from bouncing outside, and can we tackle?
And I think offensively, you know, just for my takeaway, obviously, Powers is going to get his yards. Last week was tough, but I think they were big and physical. But how do you go about protecting Jordan Rosetta to give him enough time to get the ball? Because last week, there was times where he was not the ball and there was guys in his face right away. So is that the big key tomorrow night for the offense, to give Rosetta time but also create enough holes in the offensive line for Powers to run through?
Yeah, I mean, being balanced. And even in that game, we were reasonably balanced. We got to keep the quarterback upright a little bit more than we did. He showed some toughness because he took some big shots during that game and just kept fighting. So obviously we want to keep him off the turf, and then we want to be balanced in our attack on, you know, take what they give us, but at the same time hang our hat on what we want to do and get the ball to our playmakers. And what was cool last week, even in that loss, was, you know, Cam Holland had a big night. And the week before that, Cam Bowen did, and really showing teams on film that we have 5, 6, 7 guys that you need to account for, and we're showing that more and more as the season goes on.
Yeah, with all your weapons, I mean, that's got to feel good, especially for you from the offensive side. But do you see the wear and tear from the boys are having to play both ways at all? Or, you know, are those guys hanging on okay? And it's, I mean, you're staying fairly healthy, so they got to be doing okay. But is there some wear and tear going on with some of those types of boys?
You know, some. But we work pretty hard this summer. And our conditioning, I still think, is at a pretty elite level. And it is tough to – and really those guys up front that don't necessarily get – noticed that, you know, Elijah Hernandez or Titan Davis are playing every snap on both sides of the football at the point of attack where they're smashing into guys 160 times a game. And the fact that those guys just show up and get to work every week, you know, Deshaun Stenson kind of in that same boat. We have a few. We've developed some depth and been able to rotate guys in, but those linemen have showed a lot of tenacity this year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you take a step back and you look – and you see, because like you and I talked about, the big question mark was your offensive defensive line. I think the offensive line has obviously done very well. They've done a good job. But the defensive line has done a very good job for the most part of this year of maintaining against, for lack of a better term, huge offensive linemen every team you've played almost. Is it just a different speed that they're playing at? They're just quicker and smaller, so they're able to get around easier because they've done a good job all year.
Yeah, no, I think it's a combination of mindset, and that group has it. Coach Powers, who's working on the D-line this year, and we have just pounded home some technique points that address some of the issues that had been there in the past, and the boys have bought into that. And yeah, at the point of attack, we've done a pretty good job all year long up front.
Yes, we talk about Sprague has 30 seniors. How many seniors do you guys have on the K? I don't know if you know this number off the top of your head, but how many seniors do you guys have on the K-Man roster?
We got 13.
13. Yeah, so right now. I mean, the difference there, you know, and some of that will come with time, obviously, just because you're going to retain. But does that play a factor in the Friday nights you feel right now?
You know, I mean, I don't – we don't – and I said the same thing about whether we're throwing 11 starters out there, and we feel pretty good about who our 11 are and who their 11 are. Obviously, there's typically an advantage to senior-laden teams because they've got experience and they've got size. But the seniors that we have are giving us everything they have, and we've got some younger classmen who are putting in a lot of work and are showing up on Friday nights.
Yeah. So again, I mean, we've got to talk about it. You're going to be on the road next or tomorrow night, and then you're home, and then you're on the road again. Do you see any of that being wear and tear on the boys at all, this traveling? I mean, you're only in week two of the four-week span, but, I mean, traveling is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, in any sport you're going to play, whether it's a physical one that you're playing or, you know, it's not so physical like a baseball for us. Are you seeing any of that travel on a bus wear and tear yet?
Not yet. You know, and it's been, I guess, what's both fortuitous and unfortunate at the same time is three of our trips up north are on no school Fridays. So it feels a little bit different anyway. We're not getting cut out of the school in the middle of the day. We get to sleep in a little bit. So it's not like every Friday has felt the same. Obviously, the 4 hours on a bus does feel about the same. but the routine of that day is different. Tomorrow we do have class, so we're getting out about halfway through the day and loading the bus and going. So it'll be a long day.
Yeah. Well, Coach, good luck tomorrow night. Again, we will be on the road tomorrow night at Sprague High School. Kickoff is at 7 with the pregame show starting at 6:30. This has been the Key Man Corner for Abby's Pizza. Good night.